Hello. How's first day so far? What's the best part? Wi-Fi. See, I got you engaged right away. Fine afternoon to everyone. Cyrielle, take it away.
Thanks, Dux. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for coming. First of all, I want to thank you again for your time, for taking the time to come over here in Las Vegas to join us for the SharePoint conference. We are super excited to be here. Also, a special thank you for coming to our session today that's called Beyond Deployment, How IT Can Inspire, Motivate, and Drive Sustainable Adoption. So my name is Cyrielle Siméon. I'm a product manager at Microsoft, and I am honored to have the opportunity to co-present this session with Dux and Steve that are with me today. So thank you guys also for your time, and thanks for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself, who you are, what you do, where you come from?
Sure. For those I haven't met, my name is Dux. A pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be amongst well-esteemed colleagues in the industry, and that's my real name, Dux. Had a hard time growing up with it. I got my ducks in a row now, so let's get that out of the way. Very passionate about driving engagement and adoption. So we'll talk more about that, and I'll show you a lot of real-world case studies, examples, templates, ideas that you can bring home and use when you go back. So again, we're going to have a great time in the next hour or so.
Definitely. Welcome, everyone. I'm Steve Carvajal, architect and strategist with the Microsoft Corporation. So I'm definitely the oldest one of the three, and I've been, you know, I'm much older than SharePoint. I've been working with SharePoint now for 11, 12 plus years, worked with thousands of organizations, seen what works, what doesn't work so well, and things you should definitely avoid. So we're going to share with you the magic dust today. So hopefully that we can give you something to take action on and make your lives so much easier.
Thank you, guys. Just a little bit more about me. So I'm French, as you might have noticed already. So I grew up in a small town south of France in Provence, in a small town close to the wonderful cities of Aix-en-Provence and Marseille, where I studied. And in 2007, I had the chance to join Microsoft France, where I worked for almost 5 years as a pre-sales engineer. And I worked on a daily basis with our customers, enterprise customers and partners, on Office deployment and adoption. So it was great. I learned a lot as well about our customers' pain points, needs, and challenges. And in 2011, I had the opportunity to join Microsoft Corporation. So I'm now based in Seattle and a member of the deployment, adoption, and readiness team in the Office marketing, technical marketing group. So just before we go ahead and get started, we digged into the SPC registration numbers to learn a little bit more about you. So not a big surprise, the large majority of our attendees are IT professional at the conference. But just let's do a quick raise of hands just to double check. So how many of you are customers? Great.
Good.
Versus partners. All right, so we do it again. Customers. All right. Partners. Okay. IT professionals. All right. Execs. Okay. A good split. Okay, cool. Developers, maybe? Nice. Okay. This is not a technical session, just to set up your expectations.
That's right. We cannot program adoption. You know that. There's no app for that.
We tried.
That's right.
All right, so at least we're all on the same page. So how many of you are using Office 365 or planning to move to the cloud in the next 12 months? Good. No plan? Okay. All right. Good. Do you folks have more questions?
Well, I think a point to emphasize is whether you're doing this online or whether you're doing this on-premise, what we're going to talk about is applicable to both. All right? Applicable to both.
Even if you're on SharePoint 2003 as well. So that's good. Seriously, I'm not joking.
And actually beyond SharePoint, right?
Yeah.
It's agnostic of any technology. They are just best practices. Although the resources that we have applied to SharePoint, both on-prem or online.
Sure.
So what brings us all together today? I'd like to think that it's because we all care about user adoption. We share the same interest and passion for the topic. But what does that really mean, user adoption? To me, that means that people get to know your solution They understand it. They get to use it for the right purposes. They love it. So they keep using it on the long term. They take the most out of it. And why is this so important? Because ultimately, we think, and I guess we're on the same page here, that your success is measured by long-term adoption of the solutions that you provide, either as an IT department, as an organization, or as a partner. And this is difficult. That's not easy. If it was easy, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't worry about it. That would be my perfect world. Everything would happen just by magic.
In a lot of organizations, from an adoption perspective, you want to admit it or not, it's always an afterthought. Hey, we're going to do a 2013 upgrade. Okay, how many server farms? You got the licenses? Check. Infrastructure's up? Check. Yeah, adoption. Well, let's send in the training. Let's buy them books. Training alone is not enough. In fact, I would even argue technical training doesn't mean jack squat. Well, we send them to 4-day end-user training, site collection administrator training, and they come back 5 weeks later, our SharePoint implementation, a big freaking file share. 80% of global SharePoint deployment is nothing but a big file dump. It's where files go to die. And I can see guilty faces right here. Because we don't think about adoption even before we start thinking about rolling out SharePoint. You know, a wise man once said, when you think about collaboration, it doesn't begin when you start using SharePoint. Right? It begins at the thought of you think you want to use SharePoint. And this wise man was really good. He said, you got to stop first, collaborate, and listen to make it work.
And you know, there's humor in this, but I mentioned the secret sauce, right? So if you're writing stuff down, this is part of the secret sauce, right? Success starts with deployment, right? It doesn't stop with deployment. And most organizations that I've worked with, that's what they've thought, right? They've thought that all I have to do is deploy, especially if I'm IT, all I have to do is deploy, and I'm done, I'm on to the next project, right? Success starts with deployment, right? Another way to say it, it's necessary, but not sufficient.
Thanks. And so today we want to get back to the happy place, and we want to help you be successful. We'll do our best to set you up for success. And so what does that mean is that we will share best practices. We will share resources that exist today that can help you get started. And our learnings come from our personal experiences. We've got experts here, obviously, and also research conducted last year dedicated to SharePoint user adoption. Our goal was to understand SharePoint deployment and adoption patterns globally. We also wanted to understand what were the blockers and drivers to adoption, what's working well, what's not, how people use it, what are the use cases depending on who they are, what they do, where they work. We learned a lot, and I will share throughout the presentation some of our findings. But one thing that struck me, really, doing this research, was that we found out that the large majority of SharePoint deployments today are led by IT departments, not a big surprise, but the problem is that there is no adoption strategy that goes with the deployment. Because of lack of time, resources, don't know where to get started. So that's something that we would like to cover in this presentation, because ultimately, if we stop at deployments, then it's most likely that adoption is going to be a failure. Because people are fundamentally resistant to change and need to have some help from us and from their organization to learn new technologies.
And one thing I'd like to add quickly is, from this point onwards, when you think adoption, that one word is not enough. Think sustainable adoption, right? So when you go back, people thought, what about adoption? What about sustainable adoption? We're in this for the long haul. So.
Okay, so from what we've learned, we came up with this plan, 4 steps. 4 things that you need to think about in order to be successful or maximize your chances to success. And often we focus on 3. Often we focus on, okay, so what do I need to do to communicate and train my people, my users, or kick off a community within my organization? But often we forget about 1 and 2 that covers the understanding of the business goals, objectives for 1, making sure that you're working really closely to the business to understand the pain points, the objectives, what people need. And we see with the rise of the cloud an unprecedented opportunity for IT departments to get closer to their business users like never before. As we free up time in managing and deploying, gives you more time to work with the people within the business units and help them learn and understand the technology and build the appropriate solutions for them. So number two is all about how to build this solution. Number three is the strategy to drive sustainable adoption. And number four, we're going to cover how to measure success and showcase success in the enterprise so that you can expand on what you've built and go further in the process. Anything else you would like to add, gentlemen? No? Right?
Okay. So what does it take to be successful? So in box number one, you can think of... She really wanted to cut me off, didn't she? All right. So in box number one, you can think about this as the why and the what. Right? So let me tell you a story about three organizations. And these three organizations are pretty representative of the hundreds or thousands of organizations that I've worked with over the 11 plus years on this specific topic. So organization number one is about, 1,500 to 2,000 people. Right. Organization number two, 25 to 30,000. Organization number three, 80 plus thousand. Right. Across verticals. Right. So what we're going to talk about really doesn't, it's not unique to a specific vertical industry. Right. It applies to all of them. So they started out, they did their due diligence, right, compared SharePoint to a number of other products, right, did feature by feature analysis, went through a number of demonstrations, a number of proof of concepts, pilot studies, and then they said, we're ready to rock and roll. So they deployed, right? They had the proper metrics in place, right? How many websites, new websites are created every week? How many unique visitors do we see every week or every day, right? How many new projects respond, and how many of those projects are on SharePoint? And guess what? They built it, but nobody came, right? So what was missing in box number one is the why and the what, right? The why and the what. Why do we need SharePoint, right? What is the business problem or problems that we're going to solve with SharePoint? And Ducks hit the nail on the head around in terms of a number of deployments that are just, basic file shares. Why? Right? Why do SharePoint deployments end up with just file shares? Because the people that are using SharePoint about file shares. They know about file shares, and most organizations are putting pressure on them to do away with file shares. So they say, well, if you're going to take this away from me, I'm going to put it over here now. Right? They know that process. That's a business process. So in addition to the business problem, we need to know how people work. Right? Because people like us, including myself, want to know what's in it for them. So here's this fancy new product, SharePoint, right? Go use it. What am I going to use it for? Well, file shares. I create content, right? I need to put it somewhere. I need to share it with somebody. The number one case or use case for what people need to do on a day-to-day basis, right? So later on in the discussion, we're going to give you about five or six different use cases on how to start, right? But in step number one, this is the focus, right? How do I start?
Steve, you were talking about a customer. I want to share this because a lot of IT folks in here.
Yep.
So last year, I was working with a large organization, 80,000 people. They're going to upgrade to 2013. They call me up and say, hey, Docs, come over. I'm going to run something by you. I'm going to do an upgrade. So when I got there, I says, hey, Docs, what do you think? So we're going to go to 2013. We're going to use this social. We're going to use newsfeed. We're going to throw in maybe we want to integrate it with all the other coolness and goodness of 2013. As the IT director was talking, I go, why? Just like you, they're very quiet.
Because there's cool features.
No, and that made me feel bad because it made me insecure as an immigrant to this country that my English is not good enough.
Which may be the case.
So I asked another question. I said, ¿por qué?
Now you're jumping on my back, man. Don't do that.
No, so he said, Ducks, isn't this the new thing? Microsoft is pushing social, Enterprise Social, Yammer. I go, okay, What does that mean to Miss Sally in accounting, processing invoices, expenses every month? What does newsfeed, how can the newsfeed be valuable? Tell me. If you cannot answer that question, what the business needs and the goals are, don't even think about it. And that's why we fall into this trap. We get so, and I'm guilty of it myself.
Oh, we all, shiny we all are.
Yeah. All the new stuff, and you throw it out there, it's a big file share.
So in your projects, how many get enamored with the technology? Well, you know what the good news is? It's cool. That's why we're in the business. The not-so-good news is users, right, our employees, don't get enamored that way. They get enamored by solving their problems, helping them on everyday processes, right? So this is a perfect example of building on what Duck said. More is not necessarily better, especially when you start. Giving people too many choices is not better, right? Now, over time, definitely you need to utilize as many of the capabilities to solve the broadest spectrum of problems, but initially, more is not better, okay? So out of this, right, we start talking about what we call business-driven IT. And what do you think that means, business-driven IT? It's basically an IT organization that's solving business-relevant problems, and they have solutions that solve real problems. Now, that's not saying anything new to probably anybody in this room, but you would be amazed that I'd say most of the projects that I work on skip this step. Skip step number one and jump to step number two, starting to work on the solution. All right. So, and again, this is more than just rhetoric, right? Defining a vision. Now, the first time that I thought about this and somebody said, you know, we need to define a vision, I didn't really like this term, right? Because vision sounded more like something esoteric, right? Something theoretical. Didn't really have action to it. But then the more I thought about this is before we talk about action, right, we need a purpose. Once we have a purpose, then we can talk about action. And vision, another way to think about this is a purpose. And that purpose is based on business-relevant problems. Now, one of the practical issues that happens when you start talking about a vision and you're talking about a purpose, you can spend a lot of time spinning cycles trying to get this right, right? Nailing down your vision, getting approval from everyone about your vision. The key here is to get started, right? Define a purpose, start small so that you don't need to get everybody in the world's buy-in. But this is critical, right? Again, this is part of the secret sauce. Purpose defines action.
Let me share a quick example. So some of you may be thinking, okay, you guys are talking vision, big stuff. Give me an example, right? So when you think about defining vision, what's your organization working on, be it the whole organization or your group? Well, Docs, this year business wasn't good, so one of the big mandates is to cut costs. We can't hire more people. We still have to do more. Somehow we got to increase productivity. So look at all those business strategic drivers, or maybe just your department. And based off of that, don't worry about how you do it yet in SharePoint, but take that as your initial vision, per se, and then work towards that. And you'll see, after you take that vision, when we go to steps 2, 3, and 4, we can see how we can start building solutions, drive adoption, so that our goal, what we're looking at, is to address the vision we have organizationally. And SharePoint, as Steve said, is purposeful around that vision.
Now, you would think that, you know, there'd be some diversity across organizations over time, right? Makes sense, right? Especially as you span different vertical industries. So if I look at all of the most common problems that span all of these organizations, what's articulated on the slide now is a common problem that almost every organization I work with tells me, right? They want to better engage their employees. Now, these are their words, not mine, right? So engaging the employees, finding information, sharing information. It's either non-existent or too slow. And if it does exist, it's not effective. So when you think about this, two really common scenarios is, you know, creating new content, putting that content somewhere, sharing that content, and then being able to find it and have other people find it when you need it. These are two excellent places to start with SharePoint because this is what everybody does, right? So when you think about what we do on a day-to-day basis, right, we solve problems for the most part, don't we? How many people solve problems or ask to solve problems every day, right? So in that context, When you're solving a problem, you're dealing with information and you're dealing with people. Those are core to solving the problem. So that's an excellent place to get started. And this is a real world example from a company called Nationwide, who's an insurance company. And they have a session here. So if you're available for their session tomorrow, I strongly encourage you to go see that session. An awesome, awesome example of not only solving business relevant problems, but first and foremost is the culture change that was required, right? Because the path that we have you on is 80% people and culture and 20% technology, right? Very important point, and it's also part of the secret sauce, right? This is a people culture challenge, not a technology challenge. All right, so if you're struggling with getting started, here's some common examples, common questions to ask yourself. And again, like I mentioned later on in the discussion, we will talk specific use cases beyond the two that I just gave you. But these are common questions that come from organizations that I work with. And again, there's nothing unique to these. They span almost every organization. Some resonate with some organizations, others with others. Right? So these are examples that you can use to help you get started, right? They're not meant to be any magic, just examples to help you get started, right? Because we want this session to be very action-oriented. When you walk out of here, we want you to have the information and the tools to get you going.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask something on this slide, because those are just sample questions to help you go talk, and there's no need to be a genius. It's just to, again, help you get started here. But there's one story I'd like to share about a customer I worked with in the past, how they created the communication with the business, because that's the problem as well. It's like, where do we find these people, and how do we get to them, and how do we talk to them, and how do we create the dialogue and stay on with them? So what they did, they worked with, and it came from the IT department. They were extremely successful with SharePoint. So I wanted to understand what happened there and how they were different from the other customers I was working with. So basically, by working with the managers and HR, they wrote a role description for ambassadors within the business units that agreed to take upon, on top of their job, the responsibility to represent their group and their teams. And so those people, clearly, they were tech-savvy, and they really wanted to drive change, but the good news is that they exist across all organizations. Early adopters are everywhere. You can also find those people within your organization. What I liked about the model is they wrote the role description. They found a few ambassadors for each of the business units, and those people were responsible to send back the feedback and explain the business needs to IT. So this way, they had this great communication channel between the business and IT, and they played a really interesting role in the adoption part. And I will tell you more maybe later, because otherwise we I'm the timekeeper as well. But that's something to think about. That was great to have those people playing this part. And today, with tools like Yammer, think about how you can use the solution. Enterprise social solution and create groups just to make sure that you have one communication channel with a few people among the business that can actually give ideas and talk about challenges and the pain points they face every day.
So we talked about the first step, defining, understanding what the business goals are, what the business challenges are. Once you have that, think about the solution you can provide. And more importantly, the way you think about the solution, it should be meaningful and it should be something easy to adopt. You know, the hardest thing about all this stuff is change, right? How many of your business users are sending a link instead of an attachment on their email? Right? Change is hard. I mean, as IT, it's easy. Just upload a file, grab the link, pop it in your email, send. It's too much work. So, one key consideration, knowing the business challenge doesn't mean you can go start building complex things. Here's a solution. And then they don't use it. They never know what they want. I build the stuff and stop whining. It's our job to make sure the solution fit and meet their needs. Now, how do we do that, right? So when you define your solution, I'll share a concrete example, so I'll do a couple demos here. First things first is you got to focus on the experience. You know, I didn't meant it lightly when I talk about fit and meet their needs. You know, meeting their needs is the business challenges and goals, but fitting it is the experience. You know what the two killer applications in the enterprise today is? If you take these two tools away from people working, they can't function. What are those two tools? Email, Outlook, and Excel. Now, if you're honest with yourself, if you kill SharePoint today, can people still work? Yeah. But what if your solution is business critical to them that once they experience it, boy, I can't live without this.
Hey, Ducks.
Yes.
I know a lot of organizations where the cafeteria menu is on a SharePoint website, so that's pretty important.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So there's probably three then.
Are you talking about based on experience? No, just kidding. But my point is, focus on the experience. And they don't even have to start with SharePoint. Heck, in fact, when you build a solution, don't even use the S word. What's the first rule in the Fight Club? Don't talk about SharePoint. Seriously. I mean, if you ask 10 people what SharePoint is in your company, what do you get? Well, it's kind of like document management. It's kind of like reporting, extranet. We can do that in SharePoint. How about we can do that in SharePoint, right? That's a typical response of IT. What's your mom's name? SharePoint. Don't talk about SharePoint. Talk about how we can help them and fit their needs. Because it's true, you laugh there, but you know. Now, how do we make it belong to their user? So I'm going to share an example with you and talk about this idea of building a solution. So first, step one, business challenge. So I was working with an organization, I would say 2 years ago. They called me up. They said, hey, Docs, we got SharePoint, big file share. We're doing an upgrade. I think it's about time we can kind of redo it and make it more meaningful. Come and help us. I go, all right. So I went in there, and one thing I found out is this is a construction company. They do interior construction and all that. So they got projects all the time. At any given point in time, they have 100 projects that they're working on. And as you may imagine, they're very sophisticated, and they use the most popular project management tool out there called email. Yeah. They use email and Excel and Word, thumb drive, to manage all these projects. While it works, it's not efficient. There's issues. Number one, information a lot of times doesn't get to the right people at the right time. There's no visibility. Project manager docs every Thursday, I got to build this report. I grab all these email and Excel, put PowerPoint, and the data's not even relevant. Y'all with me? You get that. So that's a business challenge. Start there. You know, the problem is a lot of us IT, we focus on big things. Oh, we're going to roll on SharePoint. Let's hook it up with SAP, CRM, run DMC. But users couldn't care less. What if you touch on their day-to-day business needs? Just organizing meetings, managing projects, right? Okay, so what happened, Ducks? So we saw that. I said, this is a great example. Highly visible, low-hanging fruit. And since I wrote the book SharePoint for Project Management, I had a solution for them. You guys read this book, SharePoint Project Management? Who read the book? What?
Maybe you should give it away.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Do you want me to give everybody a copy?
Yeah.
All right. So, and this is for real. Once you're done, go to my company's booth, AvPoint, get them scanned, and we'll send you an ebook download code for free. No strings attached. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. Although that's 80 cents less a copy for my son's college fund, but anyway, all for you. Now, so we said, look, we can use your SharePoint investment for project collaboration, right? And they go, okay, so the idea now is you're going to have a one-stop shop, so your project documents, communications, and tasks will be there, and it's great. It's not all over the place. But they came back and they said, well, Docs, you know, we're an interior design construction company. A lot of our people are kind of like hipsters. They like their iPhones. They like their iPads. We can't really make them use Microsoft. They don't like Microsoft. All right, we're not going to use the S word. We're not even going to use the M word. sort of like, can we still do that? Okay, of course. So check this out. I'm going to show you. I recorded a demo, or not a demo, but a video of what this looked like. So again, the business challenge, inefficient way to collaborate in projects. Email, Excel, Word, that just doesn't cut it. In this new world, using SharePoint 2013 and related tools, and more importantly, tools that they like, we made it better. Check this out. Meet my colleague, Alex. He and I are working on putting together a presentation for our boss. Thanks to SharePoint 2013, we're able to easily centralize and manage all related artifacts and communications for this project. On a typical day, Alex would start working from home using his Mac. He would check his email from a browser and start work from there. Looks like Alex is reviewing the tasks for the project, and he has some questions for me about the project. Just by using the browser, he's able to instant message me using technologies like Link. One of the key benefits of SharePoint 2013 is a deep integration with existing tools that we already use, like Microsoft Office, smartphones, and even web-based technologies. So even if I am out and about, I'm still not at the office yet, I can easily respond to Alex on my phone and update my task. The beauty with SharePoint 2013 is that I can continue working with Alex once I get to the office. He just assigned me a task on the project site, and look at what happens. It automatically shows up on my task list in Microsoft Outlook. Isn't that cool or what? Additionally, within Outlook, I can email the entire team directly using this neat feature called Site Mailbox. The site mailbox is available not only in Outlook, but it's the same site mailbox that the team can see and interact with directly on the project site. The site mailbox also provides visibility to all the documents I have in the project site. So what do you think? Are you excited? I am. This is the new way to work together with SharePoint 2013.
So looking at that very simple example, right? The idea is to use SharePoint for project collaboration, one-stop shop, but also making sure that the experience is are familiar with people. Alex likes a Mac, go for it. You need to access the information on your phone, fine. But the information shows up to the right person at the right time at the right device without entering it multiple times. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you love, oh, I gotta enter this data in Excel. I got to enter this data on this website. I got to enter this update there. You're getting paid too much to be a project manager if you just do that. Now, let's take this story further. So I was working in this organization. I showed the value. They go, great. And one of the other things I learned is as a part of their project reporting process, at the end of the month, every project manager has to send an Excel spreadsheet to, let's call her Miss Sally in accounting. So every month, she has 100 emails with Excel expenses attached. She has to put it on her desktop and put together a monthly project expense report. You know Miss Sally, right? So I talk to Miss Sally. I go, Miss Sally, how much time do you spend doing this? She goes, it's my job. I've been doing it for 10 years. I spend about 6-7 hours every month for this one process. And a lot of times I have to do overtime because these project managers send it to me at the last minute. I got to get it done by the end of the month. I go, okay. So what if I tell you we can improve on that? Instead of you spending 5-6 hours, maybe we can cut it down in half. We've just rolled out SharePoint. You can go to the SharePoint site, update it there, or we could do Content Query Web Part to roll it up, or maybe in 2013, Content Search, whatever. And she looked at me and go, bless your heart. You know, for those that don't live here, if somebody told you bless your heart, that's bad. It's an excuse to be mean. Bless his heart, that kid's ugly. Anyway. So she goes, bless your heart, you think too highly of me. I will be retiring in 2 years. I'm not going to learn about this SharePoint schmearpoint. All I want to use is Excel. Now you know, Miss Sally.
Hey,
User
Doug,
experience.
My mom would disagree with you too, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. But I go, wait, okay, Miss Sally, I'm not going to even talk to you about the S word. I'm going to show you a feature in Excel. Okay, what will it do? Tell you what I'm going to do. Moving forward, project managers will not even going to email you expenses. Project managers will just put their expenses on this project site, And as soon as they do that, it's going to automatically appear in an Excel spreadsheet sitting on your desktop. So you don't have to mess around with grabbing those Excel expenses on your email. Would you like that? She goes, okay, show me. I've been using Excel forever. I don't know this feature. Yes, I'm using a Mac. Get over it. Cyrielle's okay with that? All right, so let me jump into my Windows environment. So here's what I did, right? So, all right, Miss Sally, let's say this is the SPC project, okay, SPC 14 project. And, you know, I have to do a presentation, so kind of recapping on our story here. So this whole project was to build this presentation. The day came, and somehow expenses has to be put in here. So instead of project managers sending you expense information, what we're going to do is, well, I'll set this Excel file, Excel workbook, and again, this is all out of the box. I'm not doing anything fancy here. I typed in some expenses to set it up. So I put item, cost, we bought a projector, we bought a computer, and then I'm going to convert this to what's called an Excel table. And as soon as I do that, notice in the ribbon, it pops up publish and allow sync, okay? So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to tell Excel, hey, look, take this spreadsheet information and go ahead and not only make it available on this project site called Executive Presentation, but also keep it in sync. So SPC 14 expenses, what have you. Y'all following me so far? Good. So now when I hit publish, Excel will contact that site, log me in, make sure I'm able to do what I'm trying to do here for security reasons, and then keep the information connected and in sync. And once that's done, I could just open it up and look at it. And as I look at it, notice that in the same project site, expense information is right there. Y'all see that? Now, how does this work? So now, let's say I'm the project manager. Again, I like to use my Mac. You know, we live in a BYOD world, which is cool. That's why I love all these technologies. So the project manager comes in, and the project manager goes and say, you know what, for this project, we bought a car. $80,000. Right? Now, as you know, SharePoint has alerting mechanisms. So maybe as a project manager, I can set up an alert. Anytime this list is updated, alert Miss Sally in accounting. Y'all follow me? That's called micromanagement. Now, as soon as Miss Sally is alerted, I'm just going to train her, hey, Miss Sally, just hit on a button that says sync, right? And as soon as she hits sync, voila, car 80,000. You see, in the grand scheme of things, Miss Sally's role in this project is to process expenses. Number two, she likes Excel. Make her live in Excel on her terms. And that's the power of this solution set. It's not just about SharePoint. People love Office. Make them use Office. Now, as she's looking at this, she's reviewing invoices. You guys didn't buy a car. You bought carpet. And it's $800. Not only can she see it, she can update it. And as soon as she updates it, she can sync it back. And once she syncs it back, let's go to that expense information. That same piece of information is now updated on the project site. You guys like this feature? Raise your hand if you like this feature. All right. Now, some of you may be thinking, great, Ducks, but it's a sales pitch to 2013. Fortunately, it's not. This feature has been there since Excel 2003 and SharePoint 2003. Shame on all of you. Let's finish up. So as soon as I showed this to Miss Sally, I said, okay, Miss Sally, so now let's hook this up to the 99 other project sites, 99 spreadsheets, and the 100 spreadsheet is a summary. You know how in Excel you can pull data, like a summary sheet with pivot tables and charts? 3 months later, I talked to her. I said, so how are you doing with this, Miss Sally? She goes, oh, Ducks, thank you. You know, I watched how much time I'm spending, and in the last month, I only spent 5 hours reviewing the data. I don't have to deal with going to my email, grabbing all the Excel file, putting all the summary, and I didn't even have to do overtime. Huge. Imagine a small use case, a small business challenge. We help them collaborate in projects better. We help Miss Sally process expenses better. We help the company, though they don't have to pay her overtime. You don't even have to talk about adoption. She saw the value. So Miss Sally, you saved 2 hours. What do you do now? I learned how to use Facebook. So,
Let's flip. Yeah. Was that helpful? Kind of stepping you through that process? Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Dux. Mm-hmm. So back to some theory now. thanks for the story and the great examples.
Yeah.
As I was doing digging into the topic online, I found this great article on Wikipedia about the diffusion of innovation and the factors for success, for a solution to be actually adopted by people. And that comes from Everett Rogers. I don't know how many of you know this person. He's the father of the term early adopter, and he's done a lot of research and a lot of papers on the topic. So I just thought that could be useful as you think about your solution, whether it's project management or something different, out of the box in SharePoint, no-code solution, or heavy customization of SharePoint. Think about those five factors. Relative advantage means that there's something for me. If there's nothing for me, if that's just mandatory for me to use SharePoint instead of FileShare, or people don't see the value, and they're not gonna adopt the solution. Compatibility with my work style, work life, what I need, multiple devices, or based on my needs. Complexity or simplicity, just because if a solution is simple, people are more willing to just learn about it. So keep it simple. And we will talk in the next slides about a step-by-step approach on how you can teach people how to use SharePoint for project management purposes, because for the large majority of them, that can be too much at once, because that requires a lot of knowledge about SharePoint. The ability to be able to try the solution. Again, I hear a lot of customers that just lock down the creation of sites on SharePoint. And then they tell us, where should I get started? Because I just have an intranet, but like we don't really have adoption. Because people cannot create their site if they need to. And so that comes back to the governance strategy. And I hope like in this release with self-service site creation and the work we've done to help manage the life cycle of a site, you have solutions that can help people create their site as they need while you stay in control and you don't have to worry about the managing the life cycle of the site. And we have a dedicated session on governance later this week where you can go to. Observability, that's interesting because that means that when we are all sensitive to peer pressure, I guess, and so that means that if people have the ability to hear from their peers the experience of solution, that will influence them to use it later as well. So here you can use tools like Yammer and events, and we'll talk more about this later, to just drive change and influence people to use the solution. So let me just fast forward. We talk a lot about the user experience, make it relevant to the people, but what do people want in reality? So that's where I want to also share a bit of theory with you. I mentioned the research we conducted last year. So there was 8 focus groups, half IT professionals, half end users in Chicago and New York, because we wanted to understand how people were exposed to SharePoint, what they liked, what they didn't, and how they were using it, how we could help them to understand the product and take the most out of it. We also conducted an online survey across United States, Germany, and Japan to validate our findings from the qualitative research and learn more about the use case patterns. So one of the interesting things we found was the list of the rating of the top benefits of SharePoint 2013. From a user standpoint, what are the reasons why you would like to move to the new release? You would be willing to adopt the new version. At the top right corner, I don't know if you can read in the back, so I'll read it for you. There is a new and simplified user experience and store and sync documents. Dux always makes this joke about SharePoint being a glorified file share, but that's okay because that's what the large majority of people want. They want one place where they can store their documents and they want to be able to access it from anywhere and any device. If you were in the keynote this morning, we've announced the OneDrive for Business standalone SKU, and if you've tried the Service Pack 1 for SharePoint, you might have noticed that you can start easily now to move documents in the cloud with OneDrive for Business. But that's really from a personal standpoint. How do we next, like how do we unlock the value of the platform? How do we make people work together instead of just storing their documents as a next step?
And I want to add is, it's a great example. OneDrive for Business is a great way in, but you got to continue and move on and mature the usage of the platform.
So I met a number of you before we started, and almost without exception, most of you asked me, help me to get started, right? So if you take a look at this slide, right, this is where you get started, right? Upper right corner, store, share, synchronize documents, right? Keep projects on track, organize and keep teams in sync, find what you need in terms of information, find the right people, right? Access your stuff from anywhere, right? So this is what, you know, this isn't what one person thinks. This is real data from people just like us saying, what do we need to do on a day-to-day basis? So this is exactly where you start.
And so that's applicable to all of the users, no matter who they are and what they do. And so that explains, those are the most impactful scenarios. And then we also wanted to understand what are the top tasks and scenarios depending on who people are. And when we started, we didn't know if we will find scenarios by industries or scenarios by jobs. Well, we found a lot of different scenarios by roles and functions. I have a hidden slide in the deck where you have the different tasks by departments and which one are the most relevant to people depending on their jobs. The point here is that one of the challenges we have with SharePoint is that it does so many things that people just can't get their head around it. And they also don't want to learn everything about it. So when you go talk to production, if you want to help improve and monitor business processes, sure, custom lists, workflows, all of these apps with access are super relevant to those people. But depending on who you go talk to, they will have different interests. I'm just moving forward because we are a little bit late in our schedule. But out of the 50-plus scenarios that we've identified through the research, we tried to simplify it even further so that it's easy to consume for people. And so we've put together the list of those 17 scenarios that are actually beyond SharePoint, that connect also more products like Office and Link to tell our story to business users. So it's not an IT story, it's not a dev story. That's really to help people understand what it is and what's in it for them. So the first six scenarios, store, sync, share your content. It's about OneDrive for business. And next, how you can use it to do collaboration with Office Online and co-authoring and post to a newsfeed or post to Yammer and all that to become more open and transparent and change how people work. The second, keep everyone on the same page, will teach people how they can create a site and then how they can use a notebook, a site mailbox, things that Doug just showed before. And next, we can go to stay on track, deliver on time, and keeping projects on track. Once we've increased confidence and once people know how to use it, create a site at least, we can start to teach them timeline and tasks and project management. So those are simple examples. You can grab the booklets when you exit the room. We also have them on the booth. And we've built a website for you that's called discoversharepoint.com. Where people can read the story about the scenarios and consume guides and videos to learn more and help them get started. Now just to, and I will show you a bit more about the resources a bit later. Those are great examples on how people can use SharePoint out of the box or customize it a bit further with no-code solutions. But we all know like SharePoint is a great platform. And I love this story. It's again the Dashon White example, but I love the story. It's truly inspiring to me. And they have a session tomorrow at 9 a.m. Where they will talk about how they've built their intranet on top of SharePoint 2013 and Yammer. It's a great story. It's more technical. They talk about the implementation. They also talk about how they drove adoption. And I just love this quote because I think it's just nailed it all. The fact that they wanted people to love the tool. And it was not just about listening or pretending they're listening. It was really about engagement and working with the users and implementing their feedback.
So how many people here have either in the past or currently struggled with adoption or even any kind of implementation because of the culture of your organization and or the people in your organization? Okay, it's everybody, right? Most of us. That one of the things to emphasize here is this is an insurance company, right? And the culture there, right, and I'm not trying to be derogative to an insurance company, but the culture there is typically hierarchical, right, and not open. What this organization has done is applicable to everyone. They've implemented and achieved a major cultural change on top of a successful adoption. Cool, we're on to step three.
So, okay, so we talked about step one, identify business goals and challenges. Off of that goals and challenges, build your solution. Make sure the solution would fit and meet the need. Start small and then grow upon that. The next step is, okay, Ducks, we start small now, it's working. We want to push it out organization-wide, right? So how do we do that? I mean, it's one thing working with HR or project managers or Miss Sally in accounting, but to effectively push it out organization-wide, how do we do that? So in step three, we're going to talk about how you drive strategy. How do you push the message out? And one of the key, I would say, requirement is to drive awareness and excitement. You cannot do it alone as IT. Right? I mean, we're IT, we're good at what we do, but there are other groups in the organization that does a better job in pushing out initiatives like this, namely corporate communications. Corporate communications does a great, great job in pushing organizational messaging, new strategies, and you'll hear from Nationwide as well how corporate communications play in. So the key here to drive adoption organization-wide is at the end of the day, show people what's in it for them and take advantage of those people you work with early on, like Miss Sally in accounting, and use them as your sponsor or your evangelist to make it happen. So let me share with you an example of how this may work with another customer I work with. So another organization, and they're not too big, couple, maybe 1,000 or so people, and they wanted to do a pilot to see how driving awareness and adoption would work. So we piloted with 50 people. And I work with IT and corporate communications and actually HR as well to put together this pilot. The pilot, the messaging wasn't about use SharePoint. The messaging in the campaign was about productivity. How can you be more productive? How can you work faster, better, and smarter? I think that's what they use. So we tailored this to this 50 people, and the idea was, the first thing we did a quick survey. It's very simple. Three question. I think they did SurveyMonkey, but just ask them, what's the most frustrating thing you deal with every day? So we got answers back. Number two, what's the tool you most rely on? Obviously, email, Excel came back. And number three, if you had a perfect tool, what would that be? I just want to work in Outlook. That's it. Everything comes in Outlook. Y'all with me? Yeah. That's fine. So, okay, we gathered all that information, and then, as expected, this 50 people who joined signed up because they know it's going to help them. There's going to be a one-day workshop. That's where I came in. So this workshop was called the Productivity Workshop, right? So I had to kind of pretend that I'm kind of like Tony Robbins, made everybody feel good, just like how I'm doing it now. So the idea was we presented, hey, you guys said these are all your pain points and challenges. We got all these tools already that can make it better. So we approached their challenges and show, you could do this, you could do that. Everybody was excited, but that wasn't enough. Because we know, and you know, you send people to training, they get that high, but then they go back to their real world, and then they forget about it, right? So at the end of this one-day workshop, there was a contest, right? There was a contest. We called it Productivity Idol. The idea was, based on what you learned today, you're going to team up three or four people with your group. You're going to take what you learned and look at a business pain point in your or your department and see with these new things you've learned how you can improve that. You know, running meetings, doing presentations, managing problems, very simple things. We're going to provide you all the resources. So there's a Productivity Idol portal. It's a SharePoint site with all videos and links of how to do stuff. And second, we also said in the next 3 weeks, we'll have office hours. The next 3 weeks, you can log on to WebEx. Ducks will be there. If you have questions how to do things, he's going to teach you. And also, this office hours will be recorded. So for those who didn't attend, we're going to feed it back to the portal so people can watch it. And then next, if you get stuck and you have a question, in that portal, we have a discussion forum. You can ask questions. Ducks will be watching. IT will be watching. If we can answer it, we'll answer it right away for you. And then somebody asks, that's great. You know, it's cool. Why would I do this? What's the incentive? What's in it for me other than being more productive? Now, some people were just incented by it, but other people couldn't care less. Here's the cool part. After we do this productivity idol, you're going to showcase it. We're going to make people vote. Whoever has the best productivity solution, that team gets the most vote. We get a free one day off. Free one day off. Incentives, change, right? So we did it. Very fascinating what we learned. So they ask questions, IT myself would respond, but the cool thing is other people in that group respond, oh, I already did that, this is how you do it, or this is where you go. And during this three-week exercise, other people outside of this pilot heard about it, can I join? They start asking questions that has nothing to do with this exercise. How do you do this in SharePoint or Excel? We took them in. We did the weekly WebEx office hours. We recorded, fed it back. People watch it, edited it. They build their solution. They showcase. We recorded it. We put it back. We made a larger group in the company vote. And yeah, they had an awarding ceremony, lunch and learn. You get free day off. But corporate communications helped formulate that strategy. It's not very IT. Docs, what do you mean we're going to give people day off? Maybe it's not day off. Maybe it's a $5 gift card to McDonald's. That would excite me. But how do you incent people, right? Now, yeah. So stay engaged and always on. Get feedback and clearly communicate goals and timeline. And really when you do that, again, the idea is it's for your own good. We're doing this to help drive this. And when we talk about sustainable adoption, I'm not saying that you got to keep doing this stuff. It's that first hump you got to get through. And once people get that this platform, this solution, helps their job faster, better, sooner, then they'll mature, and through time, they'll learn that they could do more. But you got to give them that first jump. Yep. Now, you got to educate people. And training, while I said it's not enough, it's important. Training, especially at the business level, has to be contextual. One size doesn't fit all. So just like that project management solution I showed, we put together a three-hour training around project management. When the project gets kicked off, you go ahead and create your project site, and then when you have to do change requests, everybody knows how change requests works, yeah? You know, the ever-worship change control board? I'm not worried. So this is how you do it. And then make it engaging. One of the things I do, and I'm going to share this with you, is when I put together training programs, is I embed a little fun, and nothing wrong with fun, because people learn better. I do this thing called SharePoint Jeopardy. So you guys want to see how it works? All right, let's do SharePoint Jeopardy here. What's eight? Okay, so here's the idea, right? When we get started with training, you laugh, but this works. Now listen. Okay, guys, before we start the training, what I'm going to tell you is you got to listen because at the end, we're going to do SharePoint Jeopardy and there's a prize. People like prizes, okay? So we do the training, whatever, and people get excited. And then now it's SharePoint Jeopardy. You guys know how Jeopardy works? Okay, so I'll be Alex Trebek. Let me get started. Okay, first category, SharePoint doesn't suck for 100. What feature in SharePoint allows up to four people edit a document at the same time? Anybody? What is co-authoring? Congratulations. SharePoint Project Manager book, signed copy. But you see what just happened here? A lot of people knew the answer, but I bet a lot of you didn't know the answer too. Now you're going to remember this. It was fun. You want to do one more? All right, let's do one more. Upgrades for 100. It's a type of upgrade where configuration data for the farm and all the content in the farm is upgraded on the existing hardware. What's that? We're playing Jeopardy. Who shouted that? What is in-place upgrading for your prize? VIP pass to the red party tonight. Do you like SharePoint Jeopardy? And guess what? This is just PowerPoint. Do you want this? Good, $100 a download. Just kidding, we'll put it and give it away. So, but you see my point, right? Enough of site collection training. I mean, IT still has to do it. Enough of power user training. No, I want to train you around your world as a project manager. Ms. Sally, I'm going to train you around how accounting folks can take advantage of it, around HR folks, yeah. And groom champions, you know, Cyrielle was describing earlier, how important this is to have advocates in the business.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something here. Again, from the research we done last year, we asked people if they were actually being trained and educated on SharePoint. Out of all our respondents, only 1 out of 5 of the users were actually being trained. So no wonder why we have also some challenges to help people understand what is SharePoint and what they can do. Something else that we learned is that the most common and effective method for people to learn is through their peers. I was sitting in the room in the focus group. I was not with the people talking because we didn't want to influence anything they were saying. So I was hiding behind the mirror. And one person said, "I don't trust you, Mike. I don't trust Microsoft. I know that you're building the product, you're the expert in the product, but I don't trust you to teach me how to use it because you don't know my constraints, you don't know my job, you don't know what I'm dealing with every day, and so I just want to learn from my buddies. Like, that's the best way for me to learn." But the way the people, the champions, learn is clearly through trainings. And then we can have different level of training and resources for everybody's needs. So that's something important to don't underestimate the power of the champions and the power users in your organization.
One other point on training is contextual. And that's why I think the buddy system or the champion system is really the best practice, because you're not sending people away to learn how to click on different links, how to use different features, right? The champion training or the buddy system training is focused on a business process that you're educating them on how to use SharePoint to solve the business problem. So they don't go away knowing all the features. They go away knowing how to use SharePoint to solve a problem.
Right. And so we also wanted to understand, to learn more about those champions and see how we can facilitate this and how we can grow the champion user base. And what was interesting to find is actually the good news is that it's a really natural behavior to go and teach others. One of the stories I heard doing the research from a person working for human resources, she spent 3 months after joining her organization just collecting paperwork for vendor requests. And she spent like 3 months and she lost a lot of hours just dealing with all the paperwork until she eventually met someone from IT and explained her pain. They were like, "Oh, but SharePoint can do it for you. Let's just build a custom list, a workflow, and we can gather all of the requests in one place, and we can process this really easily so you don't have to worry about the paperwork anymore." She had no clue in the first place that SharePoint could do it for her, so that's why we've built the whole story on Discover SharePoint. But then she became a champion. It's just making her life so much easier when people do it the right way. She's teaching people around her now. She's not an expert. She just wants people to get the best practices and do it the right way. And then you can always use, of course, formal program. People are really sensitive to recognition for their time and expertise as well. The company I was talking about before with their ambassador program, the goal of the program was not only to gather the feedback from and the needs from the business, but they also use the ambassadors to train others, and they played a big part in the governance strategy because they were responsible for the sites that were created, and they were the missing link, if you will, between the IT and the business. So there are really a lot of multiple ways, different ways to leverage the champions within an organization. Anything else you would like to add, or just move to the demo before we run out of time? Okay. So just wrong app. It's not going to be easy with the mic and. All right. So let me just jump to a few demos here. Okay. I think I just need to close
the. Screen, yeah.
Is it showing up now?
No, I think let me help you. Let me drag it.
No, because then I'm not going to be able to see it. So let's just duplicate.
There you go. Good. Okay. Good.
All right. So we've done some work to help you get started, because there's a lot of things that needs to happen. The first thing I want to show you is Fast Track. So Fast Track is initially a deployment methodology for Office 365. Now bear with me, I'm going to show you how it works. You can populate the whole, the idea beyond Fast Track is that we give you a way to provision a tenant, an Office 365 tenant, either for a pilot or production environment. And it brings you in one place everything you need to move to the cloud, as well as driving change management and teaching people how to use SharePoint online. So the first thing you'll see here is that you have all of the scenarios I mentioned before that are also available online to everybody, everyone on discoversharepoint.com. All of the scenarios and resources are now on your tenant. So the pilot members, the users, they don't need to go anywhere else. Everything is right here in SharePoint Online. And then I'll show you an example for on-prem as well. So here you can see the story of sourcing Share and OneDrive for Business. You can download a guide and you can watch videos. In the videos, we'll teach people how they can store, how they can sync across multiple devices, but we want to take them one step further and go beyond just storing documents. We want to teach them how to use co-authoring. And so they have videos that they can watch from here, and they also have interactive guides, click-through guides that can teach them even more, and they click through the guide. I don't know if you're familiar with this format, the DemoMate format, but it plays the demo on the browser, and you just need to click through like if you were in product. So that's one thing here, all of the getting started scenario. What's great as well is, as an IT person, you can decide, you can choose what are the scenarios you want to provision on your tenant so that people learn more and do more. And so here, for example, we've also provisioned scenarios for HR and internal communications. So here on this page, we can show people how they can use Yammer and SharePoint to onboard new employees, how they can use a group, how they can use a custom list, how they can use video and later on video portals, everything here. What's great about this example is not only you have the videos and the walkthrough, you also have the site right below, and tips and tricks so people can start to just click in product and discover the product. And right now we're working at implementing some survey, so you can also close the loop and ask people for feedback and what they like, and so it gives you an idea on how you can improve the solution for just your own needs. So that's just a way to get started. Now, not only you have user resources, we've also brought into this tenant, the fast track environment, change management resources. So we have a whole team of people that's dedicated every day to work on change management and provide templates and resources to help IT drive change within their organization. And so we have all of the content that's here, and you have access to resources and templates right from there. So that's pretty good as well. Now, beyond SharePoint, we also have brought in one place all the resources that people need for Office for the clients. Unlike SharePoint, I rarely have to explain someone what Excel is, so that's good. The challenge we have with Office is more than people are used to Excel 2003 or 2007 or Word or all the Office clients. So how do we help them make the switch to the new version? So the resources are here on the tenant as well. And then to go even deeper for the power users, we also have a video player here that contains hundreds of videos from the technical teams showing features, specific features about the products for power users that really want to go much deeper for each of the solutions that we provide across Office. So that's one thing I wanted to show you. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the Discover SharePoint app that we released just last week. So it's brand new on the store. How many of you are familiar with Discover SharePoint? Not that many. Cool. So you should go and look at it. The app is on the store. It's working online on-prem. You can install the app on any of the SharePoint sites, and it brings all of the content directly within the SharePoint site. So here is an example. I'm on a site here. In one click, after I've installed the app from the store, I can launch it right in the context of my site, and that's working seamlessly online on-prem. Crossing fingers now. Okay. So really similar experience as on the website. You can see the blue bar at the top, so that shows me that's an app. The only difference compared to the site is that as an admin, you can go ahead, log into the admin panel, and then you can customize what are the pages that you want people to see. Because again, we want to keep it simple. We want to simplify, because SharePoint does so many things that people just don't know where to get started. So let's say I've removed a few pages here, saved my changes. We'll go back to the app, and we've curated the content now, so we avoid overwhelming people. They just see what they need, the scenarios that you want to promote, and the things that you want people to do in your org. So that helps you one step at a time, to push the SharePoint story, the out-of-the-box SharePoint story to your users. This is a provider-hosted app. People that know the app, so everything is in Azure. The exact same content is on the website or in the app, and all of the media are Windows Azure Media Services. So anytime we've got something new, we just update in Azure, and it goes online and on the app. And it's also synced in fast track. Yep. All right.
So we talked about the different steps. By the way, how's everything so far? Useful stuff? All right, good. Good. So the fourth step. All right, so again, just to recap, step one, identify business needs and what the business goals are. Based on those, step two, build a solution, start small. Three, if you want to push it organization-wide, put together a strategy. Work with corporate communicators. Use these tools. The Discover SharePoint, fantastic tool. The fourth step is you got to figure out, does this thing work? How do you measure? What kind of metrics do you, or what they call key performance indicator, do you put in place so that you can measure? And the reason why you have to measure is you want to see if it's truly providing value, and then you can go back and say, we should do more. Or maybe it's not working. How should you change? You know, you want to measure against your benchmark. And when we talk about benchmark, right, a lot of us as technologists, we think numbers. We think analytics. Those are valid. I mean, for example, when we talk about quantitative analytics, so let's say, be it SharePoint or maybe Yammer. In Yammer, you could go there and you can look at how people are engaged, are they liking, how many new members are joining, all that good stuff. But keep in mind, measuring it qualitatively alone is not, or quantitatively alone is not enough. Ducks, last week suddenly we have 10,000 likes. This is good, people are engaged. Didn't you miss the news? Seahawks won. That's why I had a lot of likes, right? If you're Seahawks, that's a good thing from a business perspective, but if you're not, has nothing to do with football, how are people spending their time? So you take these analytics and tie it against qualitative, and that's where step one comes back. Docs, our business goal is to improve project collaboration. We want to provide more visibility, deliver projects on time. Now that we see people are using SharePoint more, projects are actually being delivered better. Information is being provided sooner. Miss Sally is not doing overtime. Y'all with me? Yeah. Now, when you measure, again, think about qualitative and quantitative. You know, the whole idea of sustainable adoption is transformation. You think about what the business needs are, be it we need to improve productivity, we need to save money, make more money, what the solutions may be. So what can you do? Start small. Look for key proponents and advocates, your champions and sponsor to help push and drive adoption. And lastly, how are you going to do it? What's your plan? So with that, hopefully this session has been beneficial. All these things we provided and showed you, from the PowerPoint to the templates to the Jeopardy, all that will be made available to you. And Surreal has a lot of great resources as well for you to take advantage of.
Just as a recap, and I really apologize because we really wanted to keep time for Q&A, but we are so into this topic, we went a little bit of time, but we'll stay around to answer all your questions. For the first time this week, we've actually opened Fast Track beyond Microsoft walls or circles. So it used to be a program. It's a new program. So we need your feedback to improve it. So Fast Track is available online. There's a URL here. And if you use the promo code SPC2014, you can create your own tenants and look at all the resources that are available on Fast Track. So that's the first thing. That's the good news. It used to be just populating tenants through Microsoft employees to customers or through partners. Now it's available to everyone. Recap of the resources we talked about. The DiscoverSharePoint.com website, the app version of the website. We also have the Office 365 Learning Center on office.com, and the resources are in Fast Track as well. The Office 365 Adoption Kit to help you with change management and template. All of the content is in Fast Track. And another resource that I love, the social journey resources from the Yammer customer success management team. That's great. So I created short URLs, but I don't know if, maybe you have time to take notes or no. Docs is just...
No, and all this is downloadable.
I can't follow you, Docs.
It's all this. All these things are, keep in mind, are downloadable. It's available
you have
on
the deck.
Session feed.
You have the deck. Yep. A lot of related sessions. We have a lot of customers that agreed to come this week to share their experiences. And we have a group on the SPC Yammer network for the adoption track. I already saw great conversations happening here, so please join us and give us feedback. We've also just kicked off this week a brand new Yammer network for IT pro communities. And so you can also join this network for long-term conversations and so that we can stay engaged beyond the conference. And we also have an adoption group here as well. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for coming. And just come closer if you have any questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you.